This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Now, I hope that you have looked at the bulletin, have found the spot in which we are at right now in the service, and have seen the sermon title. And I imagine some of you are like, "Oh, God, here he goes again." Catherine had to go find it. Dangerous territory, right? The reason I chose this title, and I want to assuage your anxieties, we're not going to get into a conversation about liberals versus Democrats. Freudian slip. Liberals versus conservatives. But I do want to bring up this book. It's called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. And Jonathan Haidt is a moral psychologist. And he describes himself at the beginning of the book as a bleeding heart liberal atheist. And by the end of the book, he's not a bleeding heart conservative, God-believing Republican, but he is somebody who creates bridges with this book and does something quite spectacular. And if you're really sick of how divisive and polarized we are as a country right now, I recommend going out and getting this book because it's absolutely fascinating. And the data that comes from this book through just thousands upon thousands of studies done by psychologists and sociologists is absolutely fascinating. I want to talk about this book a little bit today because I am sick of how divisive we are. I am sick of how polarized our society is. I am sick at how I view conservatives talk about liberals as though they're just demons who have nothing to offer, and how liberals talk about conservatives who are demons who have nothing to offer. It breaks me down inside to just look at half of our country completely write off the other half of our country. That's not the vision that our founding fathers have, and that's not what we experience here at Bethania, which is the other reason I want to talk about this book a little bit today. I have said this multiple times, but I'm so proud of who we are at Bethania, a church that does have pretty much an equal number of Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, independents, people who don't care, the whole mix. Where there are a lot of churches who lean heavily to one side of the political spectrum or the other, we are a church that I genuinely feel transcends that. And here we are every Sunday worshiping together, committing ourselves to this faith, to God's work in this community, lifting each other up, and being God's hands and feet throughout the San Ynez Valley, and the world. And this book, in many ways, affirms what we have going on here. So I want to talk about this a little bit, and I say all this, I preface all of this so that you can just kind of breathe easy. We're not going to get angry at each other, and I'm not going to make you so angry that you walk out, I hope. But the premise of this book is that Jonathan Haidt starts with what he calls six moral foundations. And these are the six foundations that all people have on their own morality. You can take anyone's morals and boil them down to these six foundations. He says that they're kind of like atoms. You can't break them down any further than this. So, again, there's six of them, and I'm just going to go over them really quickly, okay? And I'm sorry how informational this is starting off as. But the first one is care. That's the empathy one. That's the one that looks at the suffering or pain of others and has this compulsion inside of it to do something, right? And we're good at that. We always see those commercials, the Sarah McLachlan commercials with the dogs, you know, in the kennels. How many of you change the channels when you see that commercial? I do every time. It just breaks me inside. And another one is liberty. This is the idea that we as people fear some kind of an encroaching force onto others, authority that creates victims or groups of people that are oppressed. And again, it stirs something inside of us. The third one is fairness. And this has more to do with proportionality, that people shouldn't be able to just take without working for what they have. The fourth one is loyalty. Loyalty to something bigger than ourselves. We definitely see that in our country with our national holidays, with supporting our troops, with affirming our servicemen and women who give to this country, who look at our Constitution and feel that there's something authoritative there that we can fall back on. The fifth one I kind of just got into as far as authority. Again, that we have people in our country who represent us, who have, based on knowledge or wisdom or experience, some way to come up with a good decision about something. If any of you disagree with that one, you tend to give me a lot of authority. I have a lot of authority in this church. I can tell you whatever I want, the Bible says. And for the most part, you're going to believe me. That's a lot of authority that you've given me. And it's one that I respect very much and honor and take very seriously. And then finally, the sixth one is sanctity. The idea that we are called as people to sanctify ourselves, to be healthy, both morally and physically. So Jonathan Haidt, through, again, countless studies, has gone and found these six moral foundations. And then what he has done is hundreds of thousands of studies with questionnaires finding where people fall on this kind of a spectrum. People will either lean one direction or the other. And so this is the part that might be a little tough to swallow, where I might offend a little bit, okay? But again, he's saying it, not me. So don't get mad at me, okay? But what he says is this, that liberals tend to fall way heavily towards care and liberty, towards empathizing for victims, especially victims of authority. And the other thing is liberty. That no governing force, no military force should ever be able to take the liberties away from anybody. And those liberties should be protected. So liberals tend to fall way heavily on that side. Conservatives, on the other hand, tend to fall way more towards loyalty, authority, and sanctity. And then both groups really end up feeling the same about fairness. Now, conservatives actually tend to lift up all six categories quite a bit. Whereas as liberals tend to really be more for care and liberty and almost kind of give up on loyalty, authority, and sanctity. But still, everybody has those six moral foundations that they believe in to some degree. And my hope is that as I'm kind of reading these out loud, in your mind you're kind of thinking, yeah, I do agree with some of those, and I don't care so much about others, and I'm, you know, curious if you as a conservative or liberal or wherever you fall think, yeah, that kind of does explain me a little bit. Again, everybody has all of these that they believe in. We just tend to kind of go towards one or the other a little bit more. Now, as I'm talking about this, the question really should be in your mind, why does any of this matter? Why is he talking about this at all? We're talking about lost sheep and lost coins here. We're talking about sinners and repentance. Why the heck is Pastor Chris talking about politics and psychology and sociology? Now, the beginning part, which isn't really the main part, is that I hope this helps us understand one another a little bit better. I hope we can hear this list and say, well, you can't lump me into one of those few groups. I believe in all of that stuff. My hope is that whether you are liberal or conservative as a person, you can see that on the other side, we all have the same moral foundation. In one way or another, we all believe in the same stuff. That we can look at people who sit on the other side of the aisle from us and say that they have morals too. They have beliefs, that they are people, that there's commonality, that the hope to come together is still possible. But here's my main point. As we talk about this story, which I imagine many of us have heard before, the two stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin, that as we question, well, what is Jesus saying here? Is Jesus telling a story that we need to go and find the lost sheep or the lost coins of our societies? This is the liberal side. That we as a church, as Christians, as people who are followers of Jesus, we need to go find all the marginalized and oppressed people, all the victims of authoritative governments. We need to go and we need to help them. We need to fight for that kind of a justice. We think, is Jesus saying that that is his moral of this story? This is the point that we should be gravitating onto? And I imagine there are some of you sitting in this room saying, yes, absolutely. Or are we on the other side saying, well, no, this is more a story of ourselves. A story that if we are the lost sheep or the lost coin, that God doesn't give up on us, that God comes and seeks us and finds us and sanctifies us and brings us back into the fold. Is that the moral of the story? Is that where Jesus leans? And I imagine some of you might be saying, yes, that's what I heard when I heard this parable once again. See, the thing is, in our society, we do have a lot of churches that are fully liberal churches that will be talking about this story today, that will have preachers saying, yes, we need to go out there and we need to find all of the victims and we need to help them. We need to be God's justice in this world. We need to constantly be going out, reaching out, helping. There are other churches in this society that are fully conservative that will look at this story and not even think about how this might compel us to reach out to victims, but talk about how we are constantly living in these perpetual states of being lost, of being sinners, of being broken, and how God never will ever give up on us. So what about our church? What do we preach? Where on this spectrum do we fall? Again, you give me a lot of authority to decide that. So here, I'm going to give it to you. This is the right answer, okay? And if anyone ever really gives you an either or, the right answer almost always is going to be yes, or both. And that's what the answer is here. We have the gift of being able to follow a Jesus who says yes to both of these. A Jesus who can look at this personal part of the story, to look at each and every one of you and say, no matter what happens in your life, no matter the circumstances, no matter the pain, no matter the suffering, no matter the mistakes you may make, no matter the shame you might feel in anything you've ever done, no matter how lost or separated you might ever feel from God, God always comes looking. God always comes searching. God will never, ever abandon you. You can never be fully lost because we believe in a God who will always keep looking, always keep reaching out, always keep loving you. But we are also not a church that just rests in that space. We are not a church that just stops right there and keeps it personal. We are a church that affirms that personal relationship with God and then says that from that space we respond. From that unconditional love and grace that we experience in God, we respond to it, not because we earn God's grace and love anymore, but because we already have it. And so we respond by going out and looking for those lost sheep in our community and in our world, those lost coins. We light lamps, we sweep, we go searching through the wilderness because we know what it's like to be lost and we know what it's like to be found. And so we are God's hands and feet in this world, called to go out there, finding those who are lost, finding those who are powerless, finding those who are marginalized and oppressed, saying we believe in a God who will never allow you to continue being separated, who will love you unconditionally, always. I know that we're painfully sick of the divisiveness and the polarization of our society, especially with our politics right now. I know we're sick of it. We're probably so sick of it that we would prefer Pastor Chris to stop talking about it once a month. But the reason I do keep talking about it is because we have something special here, folks. I want you to be thinking about this. Wherever you end up on that spectrum, if you feel you lean more towards the conservative side, understand that the liberal side of these morals are the ones who will always help you identify the people out there who need us. The people out there who need to experience God's justice and God's love for them simply because they are created beautiful children of God. And if you tend to fall more on the liberal side, understand that our conservative brothers and sisters are the ones to help us realize how much God always loves us, how much God continually calls us to understand that love for ourselves, to sanctify ourselves in that love, to know that that comes from the authority of our God. And it's not an authority that says you need to do this or that to earn it, but an authority that says you just simply have it. I hope as we've gone through this sermon that we're not so much turned off as much as we can see how much we need each other. How much faith and a church can be a space where two sides can come together and depend upon each other and still say that we worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Again, we have something special here, folks. We have a way to transcend our politics with our faith. Not disregard it. Not say it doesn't matter. Not say what your political beliefs are unimportant. But just to say that our faith transcends it. And that here, maybe not so much out in society or in the world, definitely not on Facebook or social media, but here, we have a space where we can come together and transcend the politics that seek to divide and polarize us and realize that we need each other. And I think God has created us that way. that here we can come together and truly experience we are all siblings in Christ. Called to love ourselves and called to love this world. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.